Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway View of GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I heard it. I thought I heard it. Maybe I just heard him because he's sitting.
I hear nothing from Tim.
Test.
Oh, there it is.
What's going on, Plowhawk? Is the mic's working? What's going on? Tell Charlie, because Charlie doesn't know.
Please tell me. Your source button was on from the weekend. I don't know why, but it was. So there you go.
I see that the headphone thing that controls the headphone volume, Doug, what do you call that?
The pot them down.
The knob?
That's broken. But!
No.
We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling, 7 o'clock hour. Design Air donating 2% of all sales from our audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Charlie Marlowe is in with us today. Doug, did you happen to catch?
I saw him sitting over there. Hello, Chuck.
Good morning, fellas. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah, it is good to have you here. I enjoy having you in.
Likewise. I've missed you guys.
Oh, Mike, no, I didn't expect to be emotional.
I have.
So you'll have to come back and do another show later, too? 5 hours of radio for you today?
Well, that'd be six.
That's a three-hour show that you're on later?
A three-hour show. What, you never listen?
No.
Fair enough.
Well, it's not because I don't enjoy the program. I'm just I'm involved with lady journalism.
Gotcha. Yep, 3 hours, 12 to 3.
That's quite a little block.
How are you enjoying the show?
I'm enjoying it. Marty Marr, funny guy, fun to work with.
Is he funner than Doug?
Tied for first.
Mm-hmm. So I'll say buh.
And we got Brendan Schaefer, big save guy, likes the stats.
Don't save me, bro.
So it's a good show. It's a good fun time, Doug.
Why is he so hung up on stats?
Oh, I'm half kidding.
All right.
He's a very knowledgeable baseball guy.
Is he?
He is.
Well, that's good to have someone like that on your staff.
I think all of us are, don't you think?
We're good baseball men.
Just seam heads.
That's what they say about anybody who's a coach in Major League Baseball. He's a good baseball man.
Dodgers.
There's a baseball man right there.
Right.
The Doyers.
Doug, if you want, you can call in. It's the Appliance Discounter phone lines. 855-CUB-TALK. 855-CUB-TALK. You can text in on the very same number. 855-282-8255. And email in for our Hot Shots email today. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. The suspension special. A Hot Shots burger with cheese and a side, that is the prize for our Hot Shots email of the day. Just as we're starting the program, Buck Swope, Doug, has sent, he said he took 2,000 pictures.
Oh, Lord.
And he has narrowed it down to 110 photos from the Free Dotem Open at Tapawinga, and then 15 pictures from the awards party at Twin Peaks in Maplewood, and I just got the email sent to me within the last couple of moments, so I'm taking a gander right now, and oh my, are there some pictures for the ages.
What sort of pictures, Tim?
Well, you and I do in the show. I mean, how wonderful is that? Would you like me to frame that and maybe give it to you for Labor Day or something?
Well, I'm good with photos, but I'll take a look at it.
Nice.
You can use an extra picture?
To do what with?
In the family room?
I don't think that'd be appropriate necessarily.
There's a picture of you with Mrs. Dotem?
With Mrs. Dotem.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I guess I took
Now, you
picture.
Insinuated that Mrs. Dotem, the significant other of one Deke Dotem,
Deke, yeah.
was some kind of paid help.
Yeah, I don't think that Dotem is the kind of guy that could get an attractive girlfriend, and this was an attractive
She's
girl.
She's Michigan law, baby.
Thereby, it made me think that, no, this isn't Dotem's girlfriend at all. This is someone that he hired to make himself look good.
I like that Dotem.
Oh, there's a picture of my follow-through. I bet that'll be bought like... Thank you, Iggy. I bet that'll be bought like thousands at a time.
But people are buying these photos, are they?
Great follow-through, Tim.
Thanks, Charlie.
Where's my... Let me...
Doug, did you play?
Yeah, I thought you were driving around. I saw you at the beginning of the event driving around like looking for a friend or something.
No, I was looking for Cucky. Cucky said, come play a couple holes. I said, well, okay, I'll play a couple holes.
Because he was waiting for the Plow All-Star break to arrive.
Right. And I said, what hole are you on? He said, I'm on the second hole.
Well, so there's three nines.
Right.
Though.
That was the kicker. So the guy from Tapawingo says, come on, I'll get you a cart because I know you got to leave. So you can go to your own cart, play a couple holes, and you can come back. I said, okay, great. So we went, he got the cart, and then I started looking for Cucky. Where's Cucky? Hey, I can't find Cucky. Where? We drove around and around. Where's Cucky? I'm supposed to play with Cucky. Never found him.
Hello, Cucky.
I knew he was on the second hole. I didn't know which nine-hole tract he was on. And so we never found him.
I thought you didn't let people say tract.
Well, I don't usually.
Okay.
So we never found him. So then the group dispersed, and I never saw him, so I didn't know where to go. So
Cucky the dwarf is starting to take on the characteristics of a spider monkey.
Here's a picture of Mrs. Dotem being, I think, what a judge would call assaulted by Mike Lee with a smiling Cletus in the background. A smiling Cletus in the background.
All right.
Well, it was a great event. I mean, it really was.
Had a good turnout out there.
So a tip of the cap to Danny Packer, intern Ethan, who is back there with the Sea Monster, Nick Yale, what up, y'all, Melissa Marr, and I'm sure a bunch of other people had to be involved in it in order to make it work as well as it did. Because when you have an event that size, that's not an easy thing to do. So I tip my cap to everybody involved. And then the staff at Tapawingo, I mean, you know, that golf course was underwater less than 2 months ago. Underwater. And driving in on Friday, I'm like, man, this thing looks really good. And, of course, you have a few holes that are along the Merrimack that are still bouncing back. But considering what they were dealing with and to have the course back up and operating like that, that was a hell of a job by everybody at Tapawingo. As I mentioned, our staff and then the audience. Got to love the audience, Charlie. You know, dug sideways with the audience, and that's unfortunate. But the audience, they show up, and they're just, you know, Matt, who bowls at Hank's, posted this on Friday. They're just great effing people. And I think that sums it up. It was a nice, nice day despite the heat and a great event. So thank you to everybody for participating. And when I got to what was our 18th hole, which was nine, was it nine on the prairies, Doug?
I don't know. Okay. That was the problem. That's why I didn't play.
Just because you were confused by the...
I didn't know which nine-hole track to go to.
I think it's a great visual just to think about Doug Vaughn...
wandering around.
All mad. He's on his cart like, where is hole number two?
Right.
How many hole number twos are there?
No, yeah,
Tiger would have won two more majors if he would have known which hole to play.
I have to go to Cardinals pregame where no one will talk to me.
Ashley Swip from Three Little Birds for Life told me that they had raised at that point... just from, you could have like a long drive hitter hit your drive on that hole, $4,700. Just from that
really
hole alone. And that was impressive. 18 under was the score that won. 18
that
under.
Was your team, I assume?
No. We were 9 under. We probably could have maybe been 11 or 12. But
who in the world was 18 under par?
Cheaters.
Terry Yake's team.
Oh, yeah.
The former Blue. And I didn't know he was a great golfer, but apparently he's like a great golfer. And Charlie, I think it's number two. It's the par three, slightly uphill, very short par three, maybe 110. I think on Friday it was playing about 114, Doug, you know, with the wind.
Okay, right.
114, 115,
yeah. You can really tell between 114 and 115.
Well, I mean,
because that'll determine how you're going to swing, right?
Exactly. And he stuck it for closest to the pin. About a foot away. It might have been less.
No fooling.
So those boys, and they par to par five, which is very rare to shoot 18 under in a scramble and par a par five. But along the road outside of Tapawingo, as you might remember, the wind was whipping in your face and just made it a tough hole. You're not going to reach it in two on Friday. And they got a par on that. But 18 under otherwise... And we finished at 9 under. I hear there are a lot of 9 unders out there.
People wanting to be like you, I'm sure. What did Tim shoot? Yeah, I shot that too. Look at me.
plow break.
We were 9 under.
See?
Of course you were. Whatever Tim was, that's what I want to be.
Now, even though you were all 9 under, did you still win the third flight?
I think we did by virtue of a scorecard playoff.
Mm, yeah.
So Three Little Birds for Life, the gateway chapter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, were the beneficiaries of portions of the proceeds, and in addition to their own things that they were doing out there, such as the long drive, which was awesome to hear. That sounds like they raised about $5,000 there, and it was just a good time. And that's a big undertaking for a small company. Doug, we're not part of MS. We're not part of Hubbard. We're not part of CBS, soon to be Entercom. We're not part of iHeart Media. We're part of
The station.
It's a station.
All right.
And that's it's a small business. So when those companies put on events, they have, you know, kinds of people to put them together. So I tip my cap. It was really well done. And I know a lot of hard work went into it, and our audience selling the thing out in less than 20 or 12 hours. Hell, it wasn't even 24 hours. So somebody received the championship trophy. And then really, I think what kind of is becoming the green jacket of St. Louis, which is a French fry bucket hat also.
I did see that.
Now, was that Deke? Was he wearing it and then he gave it away?
Well, he wore his own, but he brought another one and put it on the trophy as he walked in.
Nice.
On Friday morning.
I like that Deke. I just played him in fantasy baseball. He actually beat me, but before the week, he said, you want to make this a little interesting with a $25 side pot. So I said, sure, buddy. So I have to Venmo him $25 now.
Oh, you got to ship him?
He beat me.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Hey, Doug.
Well, what do you mean, Doug?
Yeah, Charlie's honoring his wager.
One of these people who you described earlier as great effing people approached me in the men's room wearing cut-off blue jeans, a half shirt, and was about to put on a GIMP mask.
Right. I actually captured that on video and posted it to the fan purr.
Is this Cuckster?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be Cucky. That would be him.
I'll tell you what. That picture.
I'm just uncomfortable around some of these people.
That picture of Larry Nickel in the GIMP mask. I'll tell you what, you got to look twice at that thing. That's just, that mask is frightening.
Well, why would a man bring that to a golf tournament?
Nicholas did for the Duel in the Sun in 77.
He never did.
40 years ago yesterday.
I've never seen that picture.
That's a lot of people think, had he not worn it, he would have defeated Tom Watson.
That's true.
Yep.
I guess maybe he could have been wearing it. I wouldn't know it was him if he had it on, though, would I?
Well, Nicholas would always wear yellow on Sunday, so you knew.
Would he? Okay. It's probably the first time anyone wore a GIMP mask out there at Tapawingo, as far as I could tell. So, yeah, I was a little uneasy.
I think Gary Player wore one when he was sculpting
the
course from the hills of Fenton.
He didn't.
After he hit a bad drive, he decided, which Cucky is actually a really good golfer, I think.
Sure he is.
No, I think.
Yeah,
actually,
I mean, how did you guys go 9-under? Oh, I can't imagine you were doing much, were you? Or you like a player or something?
I think we played about two shots of mine throughout.
But so who Sular else was on the team?
Sular Twink Boy was
a Doug, did you know Sular Twink Boy is a stick?
No.
And we had Tramsy there.
Who?
Paul Trammell represent.
And how high were you guys?
We were lit up. Not Trammell. Trammell's a great dude. Everybody
there's nobody,
else was.
There's nobody you want on your team more than someone named the Twink Boy.
No.
Just imagine, he's long and straight off the tee.
He has an awkward backswing, but it is
like
beautiful.
Like Jimmy Furyk.
Straight down the middle.
What did Furyk win the 04 Open, Doug?
I don't know.
That hole over the water there.
A number three on the Woodlands.
And Cucky hit it almost closest to the pin at that point. Got a natural birdie. He ended up being the first one to putt. Got a natural birdie. It was beautiful. I think PGA Pro Dan got a handful with the jorts, with the cutoff.
When is their match?
Sunday I'll be caddying, the 16th.
Doug, are you guys covering that, or are you just going to go live?
No, we won't cover that one. We will not.
Well, two Fox is going to beat you out then.
I'm certain of that.
We'll get you again.
Yeah. You can scoop us on that one.
Iggy, you won your match. And and then he went out and caddied for Cletus yesterday, and some people are saying that this might be, unless the Cardinals can win the World Series this year, and I think that'll happen, that this might have been the highlight of the St. Louis sports calendar, a playoff between Cletus and Billy Shackelady for the first round that went to the 19th hole. And
Tyler, Cletus, I forgot his name.
Tyler Shackelady. And Doug, Cletus was down one on number nine, and he holed out a 166-yard eagle.
No, he didn't.
Iggy was his caddy.
He did, and I called it. I said, bounce, ball, bounce. It bounced twice.
That's how you call it. That's how Babe Ruth did it.
Well, it was short. It was short, and it bounced twice, and then I kind of lost it. And then Chrissy and Dan Stack.
You lost it, like, got emotional?
No, I couldn't see the ball.
Oh.
And Chrissy and Dan Stack said, it's going to the hole. It's going to the hole. Chrissy, it's in the hole.
Wow.
And that won the
tournament. Jack Buck at Dodger Stadium in 88.
Well, they won the hole, and they ended up tied after 18. We went to number one.
And you guys went and played one, not 18. I was curious what the
protocol.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
We don't know the protocol.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we don't know. We thought it's just go to one.
Make it up.
We go to one, and then we had to decide, okay, he would have gotten a stroke on one.
Shackelady.
Yeah, but since I think the strokes only count for 18, you go to a playoff, it's just even up. So, but it wouldn't have mattered. He beat him. I think the score was 6-4. Cletus.
Oh, he double banged it?
Yeah, and Cletus parted, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Doug, what are your thoughts on that? Going to number one, which I think from the whites is a pretty easy hole, and he double bogeys. Your thoughts?
I don't think he'd double bang that one. No, sir. Not the way he's been swinging the flat
iron. I don't think he did either. He just made a bad chip and a bad putt. He had a bad break. He was up by the green, but he was in a dirt divot next to the green. Almost like
dirt divot, the star of Boogie Nights. Some people think it's a prosthetic. Some people don't.
This was Shackalady?
I don't know. Tyler Diggins, maybe?
Skylar Diggins.
Very good-looking WNBA player.
Right. Well, it was a fun match. Long match. Hot, but well worth it. It was fun. And then Friday, your match. I have a dilemma, Timmy.
Duel in the Sun, part two, Doug. 1:30 at Normandy. Iggy says more than 20 people will be in the gallery.
I don't think so.
They will. There's people already calling Jay and asking about cart availability.
Who is calling?
Fan page people asking for cart availability.
People are legitimately calling Normandy looking to reserve their carts.
They aren't.
Like the PSL sales.
But I have a dilemma because Jay wants me to be on the bag.
Oh, my God.
And I said, look, I'll caddy for you because we've been friends for 25 years, but this is going to hurt my lemming status with Tim.
Doug, how can you ring the gong on that? Iggy's turning against me. This is like Fredo in Havana.
He's concerned about his lemming status.
I don't know what to do. I mean, this will give me a front row seat to this match.
But because it's so hard to get there to see it.
Yeah, there are people already getting seats at 18. Yeah.
But I don't want to help Jay with advice, meaning he could beat Tim, who I'm a huge Tim Lemming. You know that.
Is there a grandstand?
I believe they're constructing grandstands for 16, 17, and 18.
They won't.
By the way, Tim, I looked it up. Jim Furyk. The 2003 U.S. Open at Olympia Fields near Chicago.
And who won 2004, Doug? Why Yang?
I don't remember. Yangster.
I'll look it up.
Maybe it was the 09 PGA.
Okay.
Or was that Bob May?
I don't remember.
Doug, I was Shackalady's Pee-wee hockey coach. Thanks, the recovering alcoholic from Belleville and Webster.
I wonder if he's plastered while he was coaching.
I've got Shackalady playing everybody. He's got to play his match eventually. I think I've had him playing like 9 different people so far.
Iggy, I know it was you. You broke my heart. That's from Steve in Wildwood. Doug, is it wrong if I held up Tim's trousers whilst he tinky-winkied in the potty at the Free Dotum Open? That's from Lexington Steel.
Yeah, that would have been wrong.
2004. Shinnecock, Retief, the Golden Goose.
Oh,
Goosen,
wow.
Wins his second open, 2 strokes ahead of Lefty.
Phil Mickelson, so many second place finishes, but yet has never captured the United States Open.
All right, I probably watched about 8 minutes of that tournament.
I remember Brittany Sky running out on number 18 to kiss Jim Furyk in 2003. Brittany Sky.
You really do.
Now, who is she?
Former adult film star, and I think she had like goldenpalace.com tattooed on her back.
Oh, I do remember that thing.
Yes!
And at the time, we didn't really know what that meant. At least I didn't. And then there were some, weren't there some boxers coming out with that on their back, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
So she was naked?
Yeah, naked as the day she was born.
Not at the golf tournament.
Yeah, no, on 18 she was. I think she was topless.
She was? Maybe I don't remember it.
Intern Ethan. Let me tell you something about intern Ethan.
Yeah.
So intern Ethan comes up to me. As I think people know at this point, I'm bigger than the games that I cover. Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't covered in a decade. And so I don't have time for people who aren't on air in morning drive and not receiving an actual paycheck to do so. I just don't.
Or just people who can't do anything for you.
Right. That's kind of the way I am.
No, I don't.
And I think that's the humility that endears me to the audience. So intern Ethan comes up to me on Friesbin, and he introduces himself to me, and that's at Tapawingo. And then later on in the day at Twin Peaks, he comes up and he says, is there any way I can come in and watch you guys do the show? Because he wants to learn the business. And I said, you know what? If you want to learn this business, there's no better place to be than at 7:07 on Monday and watch us perform our craft and see the intricacy of the preparation and then watch us execute the strategy. And so that's why intern Ethan is here today, Doug.
Well, hello, EC.
He's over on your right waving.
I met him. Hello, EC.
Yeah, the execution is key because you can put all the work in, Doug, that you want. But if you're not there on game day taking those ABs and producing, you won't last long.
Let me just send something to Bill for a second, then I'll be with you.
You can't teach it.
Yeah, that's the best in the business.
That dude does a 5.5 hour show, right?
He's got a half hour?
Isn't it 5.5 hours?
Really? I have no idea.
I think
idea.
It's 1 p.m. to 6:30.
What,
sure.
what does he do the whole time, for real? I ought to listen to him. So, I guess this is what it is.
Let's go. Let me send. I'll just send him a number. So okay, that's so what I'm doing right now.
Do somebody else.
Give me a second, folks. I just got to send Bill a number.
Maybe get somebody else to pick up a couple hours.
Is it the same? Is it the regular one?
He's doing things at home.
Doug, Salt and Smoke is the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Man, is it choice. Guys, I've got a block of rooms reserved at the Super 8 for anyone coming into town for Friday's match at Normandy. DM me for the discount code. That's from Brother Aver. There's a discount code for the match.
There won't be. There'll be three people there. They'll go, oh, this will be great. There'll be lots of... And then they'll say, what kind of goobers are we? We're coming out here watching a match at Normandy.
People are just going to get wasted. That's what's going to happen. And I'm blessed enough to have Big Al in the foursome.
Oh, well, that'll bring a bit of a gallery.
Big Al, we were teeing off on the hole that you guys were just making reference to, plow break, that number three over the water. And I'm walking up there with... me squad, hashtag squad goals. And thank you. And Big Al just pulls up in his cart, storms over, kind of that look on his face like he is not aware of the world around him, takes out his driver because it was a 165-yard hole.
Sure.
And a couple of my teammates who aren't all that familiar with the operation are going, who is this guy and what is he doing? And he then, of course, fires it directly into the water and then storms off. It's like, what just happened? He was just kind of a lone wolf on the golf course doing his own celebrity shot at a variety of different holes.
Well, 10,000 of us got laid off because of Big Al.
Well, his driver goes 150, so you knew that wasn't enough
club. That's not enough club, Doug. You got to lay up on an island out there.
But if you hit that driver just right, it'll go real high in the air and just drop real gently right onto the green. That's what that club's all about.
Hey, Tim, I'm taking a sick day Friday so I can cheer you on. Thanks. Some Larry's lozenge.
Got a cough drop. It's going to be there at the game.
Over 20 carts will be out there.
There won't be.
Now, you were initially saying 20 people. Now you're moving up to 20 carts.
Well,
because that could theoretically, Doug,
well, that's
be
right. If they
60
double up
people.
On the carts, yeah.
I could see some tripling up. I saw there's a picture of Larry with Cletus on his lap and Crimson Callahan like holding on to the back, and Larry's driving the cart.
And Mike Lee was in that cart too.
Perfect.
Could you imagine Tim walking up 18?
Oh my God!
Doug waving to the crowd, tipping his cap, and then you look back and you see all the carts kind of following him.
Oh my
just
God!
Just ready to see him. Put out for
like Arnie's army.
Right.
Larry and the Gimp Mask at the league cart.
Well, he's on the call with you.
Oh, yeah.
So and I hear a white collar gangster who's a Charlie Lemming, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I like him.
He is going to be the cameraman.
Cameraman for what?
The Facebook Live broadcast.
Oh, for heaven's sake. This is a work day, and you have 20 or more people who are going to take their entire day off to follow around two guys in, what, 97-degree heat?
I got to get a dog sitter so I can be there.
See? Yeah, you're on the call.
Larry should be the guy. I know. Normally the caddies do this, but Larry at every hole should be holding the pin with the Gimp Mask. That should be his job.
Yep.
It'd be great for pictures.
That happened in the 86 Masters, didn't
it? It didn't. No. And no, Nicklaus won that one.
Yeah, I know, and that's why it's so significant.
I watched that one, and I did not see anyone with a Gimp Mask holding the flag for the Golden Bear.
Yeah, Barbara in the crowd.
Barbara
in the crowd.
What's great is it'll be similar to like the fight audio to where Iggy will break down like a really great technique that Ryan or Timberfake used, and Larry will be like, yeah. So he'll be like, all right, what do you think, Larry? About 168 to the pin, he got about an 8-mile-an-hour win. Yeah, about 168 with 8-mile-an-hour win. It'll be great responses.
Yeah, he'll be the Dottie Pepper out there on the...
Dottie Pepper played. She wasn't a Gimp Mask wearing...
Larry
gown.
Played at Lewis and Clark for 3 of his 8 years there. Guys, I only got 26 beers Friday and only 6 Lions Choice sandwiches. Where did my money go? Charity? I'm tired of it. Thanks, Mario, Chicago.
Yeah, he's got every reason to be hopping mad.
Let's see. We were on number like 13 for us, and Melissa Marr rolls up and goes, we bought 40 cases of beer. So what's the math on that, Doug? I can't do math.
24 cans in a case?
Yeah, 24 times 40.
24, oh boy, that's a lot there. 24 times 4.
1,060? I'll throw out 1,960. I'm sorry, I don't want to embarrass the university high school. I don't...
960.
Whew, I got there.
Okay.
That was gone by... That would probably have been around 1:30. Teed off at 10:15.
I like that.
960 beers. Gone. In a matter of a couple of hours.
So I believe one of the AB distributors, or a couple of them, I think, were playing in the tournament and then helped the cause to get more to the event.
And they had an emergency beer truck from Gray Eagle had to get a couple of new semis worth of alcohol there.
This how many total people?
I would guess around... Wasn't it like 150 to 160?
Wow.
It was about six beers a pop?
Yeah.
Larry probably had, what, 22?
Boy, I don't know. I don't know how you drink like that in that heat without just falling over. I don't know how you do that.
Commitment.
I guess.
Guys, my parents said if I do extra chores this week, I can go to Normandy to cheer on Tim. Thanks. That's from the hipster of Tower Grove South.
Extra chores.
Tim, I plan on postponing my family vacation just to go watch you guys on Friday.
Oh, you're not either.
So what's up for grabs here besides just pride? Is there a trophy? Is there money on the line?
I guess there is money, isn't there, Iggy? I mean, not like...
400 for first, I believe.
Yeah.
Really?
400, 300, 200, 100. If you make the semis, you're guaranteed money.
Wow, how many rounds do you have to win to take the whole thing?
Oh, let's see. If you start with 32, so would that be you got to win five?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, three gets you in the semis, though, five matches.
I just picture my son running out on the green to greet me in October with the leaves falling in his hair. Oh, my.
Don't let the leaves fall in his hair. He probably won't even have any hair.
Oh, so you're saying because I'm bald, he's, boy, that's cool. Yeah.
Typical.
Well, isn't he going to be about 2 months old at that time? He might not have any hair
yet. Maybe 5 weeks at best.
You should put him in one of those caddy outfits they have at the Masters, like when the players let their kids... During the par three,
that's already done.
And totally. Run out there right. And give you a hug.
Oh,
be so cute.
Just like Jason Day at Whistling Straits.
Sure.
Is that Whistling Straits?
I don't know where it was. I don't know or nor care where it was.
This is Ryan with an R, and he says, I assume the audio will be available to podcast.
The audio? It's a golf tournament.
Somebody wants a podcast.
Well, I don't think we'll be having like the whole radio. It's not going to be live on air. So.
Oh, it'll be the best if we're live on KFNF.
Live to tape?
And we take you live for a special broadcast to Normandy.
Larry and the Get Mad.
And the Plowhawk. Just filling 4.5 hours of airtime, an afternoon drive, talking about a match between, and I got to be honest with you, I'm playing so bad right now, and I'm only getting five strokes. I don't know how long this thing's going to last.
And he just shot a 71 the last time he went out there?
I think he was one under through eight. I think that's a clarification. Oh. But either way, I played there with, who was I with? I was with Cletus Owen and a fan pinner on Saturday. I shot a 96, so I'm, you know.
Well, if he's shooting one under, yeah, you're shooting 96.
Get there early is my point. And then we might have to run a special edition of Swope's Pick to fill the rest of the time, maybe a couple of them. Hey, Tim, will your official biographer, Mr. Buck T. Swope, be there documenting the match for posterity? I wonder if he will. You would think.
He's got another job somewhere, doesn't he? He must work somewhere to avoid all the green jackets.
He hosts Swope's Picks.
That's it.
He took 2,000 pictures.
I'm pretty sure I saw him post on the fan page. He took 2,000 pictures and he wanted to narrow it down to 110.
Narrow it down for what?
I just got married and the guy took pictures for, I think, 8 hours.
And
I
don't
think
paid $10,000 for that.
I don't think he took 2,000, though. I haven't seen them all.
Yeah, Matt Bolton Hanks, I would say, is definitely going to get his own sewed at some point.
Do we have the audio of what Swope was so anxious to play for me that he followed me to my car from Kirkwood Brewhouse on Thursday, Iggy and Joan Rivers? Do you have that plow?
I don't think he sent it to us.
Oh, is that right? He's keeping it for his own.
Well, he's keeping it, yes. I've got a thumb drive with like 100 interviews on it.
Doug, why don't you take it home and pick your five favorite?
I'm good. I am so pressed for time. I don't think I have time for the Iggy Joan Rivers Gab Fest.
Well, boys, that's over 800 pounds of beer consumed by about 130 people. That's from Fred Dreyer's Mushroom, Mark. He was Hunter, of course.
Yeah, Rams D-end.
Are beers measured in pounds?
Well, what, 8 ounces?
12 ounces.
Some nice math. Is that algebra, bro?
Algebra 2.
Thank you. Doug, you can be the third person in my cart this Friday. I have a warm spot for you on my lap.
Mm. No, I'm good.
This is kind of funny, Tim, I have to admit, because I just did a little math.
Yep.
And you said there's about 160 people. 960 divided by 160.
Not one person in my group had booze. I think a lot of people didn't drink because it was so hot.
Mm-hmm. Equals what? Exactly.
Six.
Six. Six beers per player, Doug.
A six-pack a person.
A sixer,
and
a cold sixer.
Before they ran out, so this wasn't over the course of the whole day.
But if it's super hot, Doug, you can do about a beer a hole out there. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't. I'd be on the ground after about three or four of them.
Well, you're weak.
Well, I am. I'm a poor drinker. If I just have three beers in a regular setting, I'm ready to go to sleep.
Do you lose your inhibitions?
No, I'm just ready to go to sleep.
You start loosening up that three-button polo. Untuck the shirt from the Dockers.
When did you guys stop liking a gentleman in cutoff blue jeans sleeping with a lot of black men after Easter church?
Easter church.
Yeah, I don't know how that came up.
It's a conversation.
Yeah. You know.
Well, you get the idea.
Right.
What the hell's going on my phone? It's like I get. Oh, it's Buck Swope.
Swope, I'll tell you what,
calling
though.
You now.
Big sports week.
Stop what you're doing, Tim.
Yeah, this is what it's all about.
Lots to talk about.
There'll be a bunch of people bitching about the ESPYs on Twitter. That's what we got for you. Let's see. 1,200 photos Friday, so 2,000 rounding up. Oh, I think he was sharpshooting me.
Yeah, that's rounding up a lot.
That's a lot, though.
1,200 is still a lot of photos. And that's those photos will go where exactly?
Thumb drive.
And then what happens to them? Anything?
Memories.
Right.
People
can buy them. Like that picture, my follow through is going to be over.
Buy it?
Social media. Do you guys have Jim Brewer on the show?
We did.
Did I hear that
it was
correctly?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back and listen. I like Jim Brewer.
You know what I saw? Because I was at the game Saturday. He did the thing with, I think he calls himself that other guy who does interviews up on the Jumbotron.
That one guy?
Yeah. Well, they do kind of like a Family Feud type thing. He's got a guest three. Jim Brewer was there doing that with a Salt and Smoke hat on.
Salt and Smoke's the official brisket for Jim Brewer as well.
He asked me where a good place to eat when he's leaving. I said Salt and Smoke, so he must have went and he wore a hat.
Yeah.
And well,
I treat you right, man. That's legitimate.
Hmm.
Doug, that's legit.
Legit. Yeah. Well, that's good. He was a diehard Mets fan, he said. That's what he was doing at the game.
Yeah, big Granderson guy. Yeah. Segue. Cardinals taking 2-3 from the Mets, and I think at this point, people now see, here they come.
Mm-hmm. You seem skeptical by that sentence.
Well, they're two games under 500 and seven games under 500 against teams above 500.
Well, pay no attention to the numbers.
But we just got DeYoung, Voit.
Yep.
Whole different club, Doug. Whole different ball club.
Yep.
I'm feeling better about this club. If we can just hot, we just might win this baby.
I wanted to have this data. Data? Data?
I say data.
What do you say, Charlie?
I say both. I'd probably go data.
For the show, so I posted it and gave it, I posted it both on Twitter and on the fan page. Twitter, you know, I'm reaching, I think it probably gets into the B-fib community. I don't think there's a whole lot of B-fibbing on the fan page, there are a few, but relatively speaking, much larger net on Twitter. So I posed two questions. The Cardinals are 43-45 at the break, 5.5 back of the Brewers and 7.5 back of the second wild card in the National League. How should they handle the trade deadline? And your choices were buy or sell. Charlie, what do you think the results were?
Man, this is on Twitter.
3,163 votes.
I'm going to say that it was darn close to 50-50. I'm going to say 55% said sell.
Doug, he was right on.
Was he?
Right on is what he was.
55% said sell.
3,163 votes. 55% said sell. In a follow-up question, which I posed like an hour later, and received 1,886 votes, what percentage of probability would you give to the hashtag STL cards making it to the NLCS this year? And I gave four options. 40% or better, 20% or better, 5% or better, or less than 5%. Charlie, what do you think came in first, and with what percentage?
I'm going to guess 5% or better at 40%.
Doug, your wager.
Yeah, this was not just getting into the playoffs, but this NLCS is actually winning a first round. So that lowers it considerably. I'll say 5% was the most.
Well, the question is what won? 40% or better, 20% or better, 5% or better, or less than 5%.
Oh, I'll say 5% or better.
Or I think it might have been 20% or better, just for this poll of who won.
Really? 48% said less than 5%.
Wow.
The Cardinals would make it to the NLCS. And then 30% said 5% or better. So that's a combined 78% saying that it's, in best case scenario, 5% or better. But keep in mind, 48 of that 78% said
okay,
less than
5%. It's a lot of percents. It's a lot of percents.
Well, I'm getting to something here.
All right.
And that is that Jay and I will be playing each other on Friday at Normandy. And it's at 1:30, and the Plowhawk and Larry will be on the call with Dottie Pepper slash the White Collar Gangster on the green side reports. But my point is this. 45% of the people said to buy, and yet only 22% of the people, 100 minus 78, 22%, believe that they have better than a 5% or better chance of winning, or 20% or better chance of winning a playoff series. And what I'm presenting to you is, if your mindset is that only 22% of the people say 20% or better that they advance into the NLCS, then that is not a healthy enough percentage to be buying. So there are some people who said 5% or better or less than 5% who also said to buy. And I would like to set up a poker tournament with those people and engage in the metagame.
Well, I think maybe they're saying, go ahead and go for it. It's probably not going to happen, but go. You're close enough to go ahead and go for it.
But there are ramifications to that. So for those complaining about the roster this year and last year, you also have to remember that there are ramifications to that. So you can have that, but then you also, in 2017, 2018, 2019, you can't then bitch about John Mozeliak or Gersh or Matheny or whatever the case might be and the roster if you want them to move all the chips in when they don't have the caliber of talent that they had in many of the first few years of the 2000s, or in even a 2009, which I thought was a great Cardinal team with Carpenter and Wainwright, or 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15. And I would think that the vast majority of Cardinal fans would see, if you lined up the rosters and the rotation specifically and the lineups and the bullpens, that this team does not hold a candle to the vast majority of those teams. And so if you want the roster to improve to increase the probability of actually winning a world championship, then there's a price to pay. And you can't move in to go all in every time you have a chance, because mathematically you always have a chance until you're eliminated.
I would say I'm not a fan of the Cardinals going after Josh Donaldson. I know a lot of people want him. I agree with what you're saying, Tim, and I would only say this about getting a bat. I don't think the Cardinals are necessarily going anywhere in 2017, but they have to get a bat eventually. So whether that's now or in the offseason, they need to do that. So I think specifically this year, if you're looking at one of those Marlins players, just the fact that you have a bit of a leveraged market with the fact that they're selling the team, and I don't think you'll have that situation next year. So I wouldn't go after Donaldson, but if you think your best chance at getting an impact bat in the next, let's say, year and a half, and that's maybe Stanton, Ozuna, I'm not a big Yelich guy, but if that's what the Cardinals think, I do think you have a rare opportunity in the next month with the Marlins probably giving away some players, especially Stanton, at a price you wouldn't get in other times.
And you're basing that on the purchase after the All-Star game?
Yes.
Mitt Romney's group buying the Marlins after the All-Star game is what I saw bouncing around the Twitter tweets. I'd like to attribute that properly.
I certainly would not go after Stanton.
You would not go after Stanton?
No, of course you would want him in the lineup. But these long-term, 10-year, mega-money contracts, they almost never work. They almost never work. Stanton has all kinds of trouble staying on the field. He's been hurt repeatedly. Furthermore, he doesn't give you a whole lot more than a lot of home runs, but the way the ball is so juiced right now, everybody's hitting home runs. A home run hitter should not be the priority. Priority should be pitchers that can stop the home run hitters. What they need is better pitching.
But they
what
have
they
great...
need is a stronger bullpen. If they had a stronger bullpen, they'd be in first place right now. You got to get if they can just get a good arm in the bullpen, I think they got a shot to stay close. Now, I know they're not as good as the Cardinal teams from 6 or 7 years ago, but they're not competing against those. They're competing against a weak division. They have a chance this year. And whenever you have a chance any year, whether you think you got the greatest team or not, you got to go for it.
I just respectfully disagree with that philosophy. But I mean, but it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It's just a difference of opinion on it. And a lot of people share your opinion, by the way.
Yeah, just because
I'm surprised. I think a lot of people would actually disagree with your opinion, though, on the Stan thing. I think, and I'm not necessarily saying I'm pro Stan. I'm just saying I think a lot of people have this opinion right now, and I could be wrong. No on Donaldson, yes on Stanton. That's what I think the majority of Cardinals.
How many times have you seen these guys get paid $20, $25, $30 million a year, and then 2 years later you got nothing?
And Stanton has the opt-out clause.
You got Ryan Howard, who just fell apart when he got paid. You got Albert Pujols, who's half the player that he used to be.
But Albert signed his deal at what, 31?
Well, Stanton, whatever. Show me one of these long-term deals that have worked.
Well, Stanton is 27. So I'm not saying that when Stanton's 37 making $25 million, I'm not saying that's going to be good. But I do think you have a solid, you would think, 5 or 6 years.
Well, he can opt out after 2020.
Prime. Right. I'm a bigger fan of Ozuna, and I think that fits more the mold of what John Mozeliak has done in the past in getting a player who's controllable. You'd have 2.5 years. He's 26. You're getting his prime years. He's also very motivated because he hasn't been paid yet. He hasn't gotten that big contract. And I think 2.5 years of him, that's a pretty good deal, even if you lose him after that. His numbers are better than Stanton right now.
I think a more likely course that we'll see is perhaps a trade of Lance Lynn before he hits the free agent market. Try to get a good bullpen arm out of Lance Lynn. Bring up Flaherty. He's tearing it up at AAA. Give him the fifth starting spot. And see if some of these young guys can keep you in contention. And if you really have something in DeYoung and Voit and some of these other young guys really start to tear it up, then in the offseason, you got a chance to remake your club. But when you're this close, I just don't think you're going to cash it in and say it's not going to happen this year when you're only 5.5 out behind a Milwaukee Brewer team that's not the greatest team that's ever come down.
Yeah, no, when you're talking about the actual strategy for the organization. Now, what I want versus being in the organization, two totally different things. If I'm in the organization and you're sitting there at the end of the month and you're within 5 games, how the hell can you sell? You know, which sucks from my standpoint as a Cardinal fan, because I believe it's in their best interest to do so, because I think it puts them on a better path to be in a world championship level quicker. But if you're in the organization, if I'm the president of the organization, and the team I'm operating is within 5 games, you can't do that. So that's why I would rather see the Cardinals fall out of it over the next couple of weeks and then be in a position to sell more so than what they are right now, because even though they're 5.5 games back and not necessarily in the wild card race, although, I mean, you got, you know, 70-plus games left, that can change, but you're 7.5 back in the wild card, that they would get a chance to sell.
We have seen teams sell in a big way, like the Cubs and the Astros, and just go through some horrendous years, and things panned out for them. And we've seen teams sell, like the Phillies,
right,
who it hasn't worked at all. Well, they continue to be the worst team in baseball, despite having sold.
But the Cubs and the Astros specifically, no matter what, unless you're of the opinion that somehow the Cardinals could move or would move one of the four, and the four being Wainwright, Molina, Fowler, and Leake, are committed with some big names, that they can't do what the Astros specifically did and the Cubs to a lesser extent did. So that it can't get to that full-on rebuild. But I am talking about Rosenthal, Jerko, obviously Lance Lynn, Carpenter, those kinds of players. And again, I just, to me, it's analogous to the early 1990s Cardinals with some really good players, but not world championship caliber players. And for example, if the Cardinals would have been out of it last year, as and they weren't in the division race, but out of the wild card race, I think it would have been better for the organization to attempt to get something while they could for some people who they didn't wind up getting anything for.
I'm just concerned that none of these players that you would sell, none of these sellable players are really going to bring you the type of superstar prospect that's going to turn your franchise around in 2 or 3 years. I don't know who would give up some of their very best players for any of those people on the Cardinals that you just mentioned that are expendable.
I've used this example a couple times, but I think it's a good one. A couple years back, Mike Leake is on the Reds. He goes to the Giants at the trading deadline, so they get him for a couple months. The Reds get back in return Adam Duvall. Isn't that a pretty nice haul for two months of a Mike Leake type pitcher? Where yeah. Lance Lynn, they're kind of similar type pitchers in their numbers. And all the teams know these days that if the Cardinals keep Lance Lynn, they're going to get that draft pick, which is pretty valuable. So to deal Lance Lynn, they have to get value that they think is better than a first-round pick, which is pretty darn good. If you could get an Adam Duvall type talent, I think that move makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, if you can get someone like that, it does. But
that's the going rate for a Lance Lynn type player. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, if you can get that for Lance Lynn, obviously you pull the trigger. But I don't really consider that. Well, maybe it is in a way, but that's not a big time sell. That's just trying to get something for a guy who's about to become a free agent.
But you had just said that what you need is pitching, and now you're trading away one of your top three starters.
If you're
going
to give me Adam Duvall, sure.
But when you trade for Adam Duvall, you don't know how good Adam Duvall is going to wind up being.
No, you don't really know how good anybody's going to be.
Well, I know,
but that's my point.
But that's results oriented, so you can't say, okay, now I know that we're going to get a guy who's hitting, what did he hit last year? I don't know what the hell, he hit a bunch of home runs. So you're trading for a prospect is the point.
But you're trading for a guy who at least has some stats in the minor leagues versus a draft pick. You know, Adam Duvall was pretty darn good in the minor leagues when they traded him versus, let's say you get a pick that's 37th overall. That's much more of a crapshoot.
Design Air Heating and Cooling, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour, donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop train. Your thoughts, 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. Charlie, draft pick compensation for Lynn's greatly reduced under the new CBA. That's from the 636. From Eric in the Central West End, the Marlins are a terribly run franchise. Of course, they would make a bad trade for Stanton. It's in their DNA. Jefferson Barracks Barney writes, that early 90s Gilkey Lankford Jordan outfield was pretty sweet, though. Hard when Bob Tewksbury is your ace. That's from Jefferson Barracks Barney. I think he went to an all-star game.
Tewksbury?
Yeah,
he did. He had a couple of big years.
Can I politely request we get a little more coverage on the Tim and Jay Jr. matchup on Friday?
I've always thought if you want to be there every year, you just have to have pitching. There's no way around it. There just isn't. And who knows how much longer Wainwright's going to be a contributing pitcher. Martinez has struggled here a little bit his last few starts. Lynn is probably not going to be around anymore. Waka's got the health concerns. He's pretty good one day and not so good the next.
You're down on this rotation.
I'm saying you got to have better pitching if you're going to be a contender. We've seen all kinds of offense all over baseball now. So we've seen guys come up from AAA and tear it up, and Voit and DeJong. I don't think offense is going to be ultimately their big problem. You have to have solid pitching to be there. And right now, I don't think their pitching's good enough.
They have a lot of good pitching prospects, though. I think when you look at the minor leagues, the upper levels, now Delvin Perez is at least 2 years away. The Cardinals, to me, their two biggest needs are the 3-4 type hitter and a solid defensive shortstop. And we'll see what happens with DeJong. It's way too early. Plus, we're going off maybe the greatest series he'll ever have in his life. And I hope he has more like that. But what was he, about 9-for-12 with three bombs and five doubles?
Yeah.
I hope he continues to be a very productive player. I don't know if they see him as a shortstop long term. We'll see. But they don't have a defensive shortstop waiting in the wings. They don't have that 3-4 hitter waiting in the wings. They have a lot of good arms. And they have a lot of decent outfield prospects the Harrison Baders of the world. I just don't think any of those guys are ever going to be close to a Stanton or a Machado that people talk about potentially getting after 18. There's no impact bats like that that are close to the Cardinals.
Yeah, well, you're talking about two of the top 10 or 15 players in all of the major leagues. So,
well, why can't the Cardinals have a guy like that?
No, they're not going to turn out to be those.
Okay, guys. But do the Cardinals have a top, let's say, 25 bat in the major leagues?
No, that's my point. Don't.
They don't have anybody like that. I mean, Tommy Pham has had a nice first half. Matt Carpenter, I think, could be that. Has been in the past, but they don't have a guy who's slugging 570. They don't have anybody like that.
No, yeah, great to have it. Absolutely, who wouldn't want it? But it's what you have to pay to get it. And for a guy like Stanton, I would not get snookered into paying anybody long term for that kind of money. It just doesn't ever work out. Now, I know it's not my money. They've all got money. Sure they do. But it does affect what other moves they make if you have to pay one guy that kind of cash. I don't think that ever works out. I don't think Stanton is the guy you do. I would hesitate to give 10 years to Bryce Harper because you just don't. That's forever. 10 years is forever. You don't know what's going to happen. You're much better off, I think, locking down the very best pitching staff you can possibly get. That's more likely to make you a solid contender every year.
So who else do you want, though? I understand they need bullpen help, but aren't you pretty excited about the Flaherty's of the world? Luke Weaver might be able to be a number five starter right now. And I think if they did trade Lance Lynn, it would probably be Weaver who gets the first shot at taking those starts. Maybe Flaherty next.
Buh Weaves.
Yeah, buh. That's what they're saying. Buh Weaves. Well, and you're probably going to need somebody else, too. I mean, we've seen all kinds of pitchers miss starts and get hurt. You're probably going to need two if you replace Lynn.
The sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour, Design Air Heating and Cooling, serving the St. Louis area since 1904, number one train dealer in Missouri, Seth Goldkamp and his family, fourth generation owner-operators, and really do care about their customers. Get Design Air out to your home now and have them take a look at your air conditioning unit. Don't wait until it gets up to 90 degrees and you find your AC needs service. Have a technician come out and make sure you're ready for another St. Louis summer. The number is 314-739-1600, 314-739-1600, or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. Hard Stop Train. Tim McKernan, Doug Vaughn, Charlie Marlowe with you. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.